Robin Miller Brecker.
And I'm Karen Lenzer. Welcome to Seeking Center, the podcast.
Join us each week as we have the conversations and weed through the spiritual and holistic clutter for you. We'll boil it down to what you need to know now.
We're all about total wellness, which to us means building a healthy life on a physical, mental, and spiritual level. We'll talk to the trailblazers who will introduce you to the practices, products, and experiences that may be just what you need to hear about to transform your life.
If you're listening to this, it's no accident. Think of this as your seeking center and your place to seek your center. And for the best wellness and spiritual practitioners, experts, products, experiences, and inspo, visit theseekingcenter.com. We have one of our favorite spiritual teachers and practitioners back on the podcast today. Jeanette Biro is a powerful spiritual medium who is clairaudient, clairvoyant, clairsentient, and claircognizant. She can hear, see, feel, and know information from spirit and other dimensions. Since Jeanette was a child, she has been channeling beings from the fourth to 12th dimensions, connecting people to the other side and bringing messages to inspire and inform our world. Jeanette has many spirit guides, ascended masters, and beings who are guiding her to support our planet. In addition to these remarkable gifts, she has spent soul time on the other side through a near-death experience, which we've discussed on a prior Seeking Center episode. This allowed her to see and understand how our life blueprint and soul's journey actually works. Prior to a career using her spiritual gifts, Jeanette pursued science, receiving a Bachelor of Kinesiology and a Diploma of Sports Medicine, and practice as a kinesiologist. Jeanette helps to translate guidance from beyond in a way that we can understand. Karen and I are frequent listeners to her weekly and monthly messages, and we wanted to share what she's been receiving for this month and for 2024 overall. Let's get going. Hi, Jeanette.
Hi, Jeanette.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's so wonderful to have you here. We've been really excited by what you've been sharing and some of these updates that you've been giving to your listeners. And so we wanted to make sure we could amplify it out to all the Seeking Center listeners as well. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm excited to share too, because honestly, it's about the sharing of information. The fact that you're both doing this too, it just speaks volumes to the amount that people are tapping into and the amount that people are wanting to share that info and not keep it for themselves, which to me is such a huge indicator of this shift in consciousness that we're going through.
Oh, that's so true.
It's so true.
For people maybe who haven't heard you on our podcast or yours or any of your readings yet, could you just do a really top line overview of your background and how you came into your abilities?
Yeah. Retrospectively, I can trace it back to the age of five. I knew there was beings in my room at nighttime, people, spirits of sorts. I did not grow up in a family of mediums, though. So it wasn't the normal thing to talk about feeling someone's there, but you can't see them. It was just terrifying. I understand it now. At the time, I didn't. It was just my council of guides coming to keep me company every night. But it was really scary. Fast forward to 15, I saw my grandmother after she passed away in a very clear dream state. We had a clear communication about her life on the other side. I still didn't fully believe what was happening. By 17, I could start hearing spirit, which was very unnerving for me because I didn't understand what I was hearing, because how you hear spirit isn't always the same way we would think. Sometimes it's audible, sometimes it's not. So that took me on a journey of anxiety, but the anxiety journey taught me how to master my mind, which I know now was the key to really opening up my mediumship abilities. I had to understand what was mine and what was not. Mm-hmm. And so then in my early 20s is when it really all opened up through a series of different events. And before I knew it, I was doing readings for people. And I was doing readings for people for at least a decade before clients, full schedule, all of that, all just by word of mouth. I kept it on the down low, but I was busy enough. And then I had a near-death experience in 2019 where I had the opportunity to cross over to the other side during a surgery, a routine surgery. I did not flatline in the surgery, but I had the opportunity to. And again, if people want to know that story, then they would have to listen to the other podcasts. But what that did is, coming back from that near-death experience, it amplified my connection and my access to spirit even more. And it also solidified an agreement that I would share what I know and I would share messages from spirit, from guides, to simply give information if people want it. None of it is to convince anyone of anything. It is simply, here's some cool stuff. If it resonates with you, fantastic. And so that's a nutshell of where I am now. And so I offer all that kind of info on my podcast and courses and conversations with you ladies. So here I am.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. And can you just quickly, in Robin's introduction, she was talking about kinesiology. Can you just explain for listeners what that practice is?
Yeah. So it's basically really understanding the body and the physiology of the body. It's like exercise science. After university, I did work as a kinesiology in secondary stage rehab. So whether that be with amputees, whether it be workplace injuries, I basically was that middle person between physiotherapy from an acute injury to how do you get back to your sport? How do you get back to playing golf again? What is that in between? Because we can't just go from physio to the field, right? There's a progression up in that. So I got into personal training with a kinesiology spin, and I trained athletes and different competitors of different sports, you name it, elderly. I trained people who'd had strokes and all of that. So it was just really like a focus on the body, which really did play into me understanding mind, body, spirit, wellness. Like I reflect so often on my understandings of the body and how it works in the energetic nature of what I understand now. So it always makes sense in retrospect.
It's totally on purpose. Right.
Yeah.
So now bringing it to 2024, as I said in the intro, Karen and I listen to your messages on a weekly and monthly basis, and we've really been taken by what you've been talking about so far. And we wanted to share more of that with our listeners. And we know you have such a clear channel with your guides. Can we talk about what you've been getting for this upcoming year? Right now we're in February. So we're still at the beginning.
Yeah, there's definitely a newness to this year. So 2020 to 2024 was all about rapid ascension within our mindset, right? Like in our consciousness. So we went through what Spirit said was 100 years worth of growth. So what would normally take 100 years was condensed into the span of 4 years. And so we went through that from 2020 to now. And now we're in a new phase of energy. New is good, but new isn't like utopia.
Yeah.
And I think there needs to be a real clarity in that. Like, new is different and new is a step up, but it is not the end goal if we even want to use that. It's the progression. And one of the biggest things about 2024 is there is a very fast energy about it. It is moving fast. They keep showing it to me like a train on the tracks. However, from January until about now, the energy is moving fast, but we haven't fully gotten on the train yet. And so we're in the process of getting on the train like mid-month, this month, because the real Spirit has been calling it the kickoff energy, but February, even into March, is where we really get to be in the swing of it versus just watching it. So it's like January, the train was on the track and it was getting up to speed, but February and into March is when we actually get to jump on it and feel the momentum. So a lot of people have been feeling this kind of weird disconnect of knowing it's happening fast, but then feeling like their journey is, what am I doing? And then there's this weird glitchy nature, which has made it very glitchy this year. It did start heavily in November, but this year is also a very glitchy year because of those two time frames or experiences of time, which can be very discombobulating, if you will. Like, it's odd, but it's all with purpose because this year is really meant to propel us forward in tangible ways. It's taking all of the consciousness that we gathered in the last 4 years and then applying it to movement in tangible ways. So this is a high manifestation year for a lot of people. It's a number 8 year as well, numerologically. So 8 is a number of the infinity symbol. What you put out, you bring back. Your energy signature makes a huge difference this year. And it's also a year where, like I said, a lot gets to come to fruition. So for people that have really been working towards things, in most cases, the universe is really going to favor those things. They may just show up in different ways, though. Because again, free will, timelines, probabilities can alter exactly how something lands, but it's a high manifestation year.
And you're hearing a lot of this information directly from your guide. So this is a little bit different from people maybe thinking about astrology and what we've been hearing astrologically, which does correspond with everything that you're saying. Mm-hmm. But what you're getting is more of this energetic vibrational.
Which is so much fun because I have these two dear friends that are astrologers and I will bring them what I'm getting. And then they'll be like, look what the stars are saying. And they'll correlate it with the astrology. And that blows my mind every time. It doesn't get old to me. I'm still like, wow, oh my gosh, right? Because it's neat how it's all connected. So even with the different things that are happening this year, like astrologically speaking, it's all in moving us forward. There's such a push in moving us forward. And I think if we follow that momentum with a really strong mindset, and it's a mindset not of just like black or white, but it's a mindset of knowing your truth and your worth and your value as you move forward, then you move forward in harmony with that train rather than hanging on by an arm and being dragged down the track by the train. Does that make sense? Like merge with the energy and move with it.
Yeah. And I think even reflecting on these last 6 weeks, let's say, taking that time to even ground yourself a little more and, to your point, understand really who you are, where you're intending to go. It's giving us that time.
Yeah. And it's a weird place to be in. And for some people, it can feel very slow. And they're like, I don't get it. It's supposed to be fast. But the thing is, it's both of them, but they're getting into sync is what's happening. So we have to let the engine warm up and get into sync. And that's often what the beginning of our calendar year is. Like we were talking about before, we often think January is like the start. And in some ways it is, because there are so many people that believe it to be. Therefore, there is an energy that supports
that.
That's
a great point, Jeanette.
Right? Yes. Like it's there, but astrologically speaking, which is the bigger hitter, that's later on in the year.
Yeah.
So we're ramping up to that.
Yes.
So it's an interesting, like I always give myself space in January to know what I want, set my intentions, all of that, but then give it time to catch up to speed, like to get that engine running.
Well, and you talked about it being a high manifestation year. Are there certain exercises or ideas that you can give to help manifest?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the, whether it's simple or hard, really depends on each individual person. The concept is simple. Is the more in alignment you are with you, the more in alignment you are with the universe, making your manifestations more possible. And so that alignment can look like the very simplest things, as maybe you desire to have a certain fitness ability, but the way in which you're going about it is you're forcing yourself to exercise this long, to cut this many carbohydrates, to do this and this. You're actually moving out of alignment with self. So you're forcing and pushing something you desire, but you're moving out of alignment. Instead of tuning into yourself, your body, what feels right, and moving in that alignment, which can still reach your desired goal, but you're doing it in a different way, which is sometimes saying no to a workout because you actually feel so depleted, you can't think clearly. And when you make the choice in recognizing that, first of all, and then choosing not to work out, but watch a Netflix show or something, what you're doing in that moment is you're actually stepping into alignment with self. And vice versa, right? If you're blaming your fitness ability on other people, I don't have a running partner, I don't have this, blame, instead of pushing yourself to get out there and do it for you, that's where your choices in alignment are. So it's honoring our sovereignty, our sense of self, and what does that feel like? And what does that look like from what you eat to who you interact with, to what you do in your expression, even how you dress, all of those things create a bigger frequency within you of your authenticity. And when you are vibing in your authentic self, it's like your energy is huge and you become a magnet for the things you're wanting to attract.
And you can feel it, can't you?
Yeah, it makes a difference. So that alignment of authenticity is really your root in manifestation. And then it becomes thinking of what your goals are. What would they look like? What would it feel like to bring in the things that you want? And then, of course, what are the action steps that are within your control that you can take to make it happen? What is outside of your control? And I know a lot of people, and I've done this myself too, where I'm like, I want this to happen. I'm just going to meditate on it. But if we don't act on it also, it's not always going to show up at our door. Sometimes it does, but oftentimes it requires us to accept what it is we're asking for and show that we're going to get it and the universe brings it so we can meet halfway. That's that whole co-creation aspect.
Love that you're bringing that up, because one of the things that I've been saying, even just in the last few days, is this reminder of something that is a concept that I've thought about for years, but it's this idea of focusing on the what rather than the how. However, you do need, to your point, come up with the action steps to a degree. It doesn't mean you should, I would say, like obsess, but you do need to put something in action, I would say, get something going yes, focus on that what and what does that feel like? What does that goal feel like to achieve it? And what are some of these steps that you can control to your point in order to start getting there?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also within that, then not being rigid in how it should lay out. Like flow is such a key word for this year too. Number 8, it's that flow energy of the infinity. Flow is such a key piece here. Notice if you are in flow or if you aren't. Are you pushing against the current? Why are you pushing against the current? And what can you do to change your back in flow? Because flow is why it's a high manifestation year. Because if we align with the flow, then things will come with more ease and we'll manifest more of what we want.
We were talking earlier about the number 2 and the significance of that, which is something, again, that I forget about. That yes, as you were saying, the beginning of a new year, everybody has that expectation that everything should shift. And really the seasonality of that, really, it doesn't make sense yet. You're still in the winter. You haven't planted those seeds in the spring yet. Can you talk about the significance of the numbers of the month?
Yeah, absolutely. So what's interesting is since about 2022, Spirit kept talking about the significance of 2024 being that one of the highlights of this year would be divine union, divine partnerships, the pairing of two or more. And so what's interesting is because we went through what Spirit called like the gauntlet from 2020 to 2024, we went through massive growth and ascension within how we think and how we see the world. And we really expanded that. And so now, each individual who went through that awakening, that ascension, that expansion, whatever you want to call it, now stands in a greater personal truth. And when you pair two or more in that personal truth, you get a connection and a creation potential that is absolutely amplified. And that's a beautiful thing because it's about coming together this year to create. And so when you pair that now with the fact that we're in the second month, this is really a kickoff month. And it is really where Spirit is like, these divine partnerships, pairings, and unions are really coming into play. It is amplified even more. And like I said, these partnerships are not just romantic, but that is definitely included. Some people are connecting to soulmates, twin flames, but this is also like platonic soulmate relationships. This is business relationships. This is community relationships. It's the pairing of two or more is really being amplified and put into action this month on a much bigger scale.
That's great.
Yeah.
Something else too that you had said, I think it was about February in general, was there was a lightness to it. And I know even actually when I put this shirt on today, it doesn't feel right totally because I'm wearing black for those who can't see me. And I've been really called, and Karen can attest to this because we talk every day. I've been called to wear other colors other than black for some reason. It just feels more comfortable. Can you talk about that? Because it was something that you brought up recently, your messages.
Yeah. It's interesting that you noticed that. And I did something similar. I had black earrings and a black bracelet and my black watch and this black shirt. I was like, what? This feels really weird. It's not representing how I feel inside. And that's a lot of what's happening this year, is this a new energy of what you resonate with. And many people are seeing that through how they express themselves, and they're wanting to do so in a lighter way. So we'll see that in how we are wearing our clothing, how we do our hair. I talked about that too. My hair is normally black, right? Like naturally, and I am wanting to lighten it. And that's that new energy, but it is also with the movement. When we want to move with more ease, we want to do so feeling lighter. We don't want to be restricted. We don't want to be bogged down or anchored. It's also speaking to that part in the lightness that we feel, because the last 4 years were very heavy. I don't know of many people that made it through the last 4 years without having to look within themselves somehow. Some people dove right in. Others put their feet in the waters of themselves, but everybody had to get in touch with it a little bit and go into something. But every time we go into it, we come out lighter because usually there's healing that happens, right? Mm-hmm. There's mending, there's releasing and all of that. So we're expressing that now in how we show up in the world because of the work that we've done inside, which also makes us more ready to move in the flow of the faster paced energy this year.
Jeanette, you talked a minute ago about how in the last 4 years, we ascended more rapidly.
100 years worth of growth in the span of 4 years.
Yes. So what is ascension about anyway? And what do we need to know about that? since it's happening to us?
No, it's a great question. I love that you brought this up because I think sometimes people get hung up on the language we use. Sometimes people get annoyed with ascension. They get annoyed with the word frequency, vibration, spiritual even. But the thing is, we're trying to put language to explain something. And in the very basic form of what's happened in the last 4 years is we've been pushed out of our comfort zone to expand, to open our minds, to look outside the box of what we know reality to be and see what's out beyond it, because there's so much more. And so it's in that process of breaking down that box, that perceived reality, and opening up to other realities of maybe how we think. What we used to think was truth before maybe has changed. What we used to think was healthy before has maybe changed. What we used to align with politically before has maybe now changed, because we're seeing bigger picture things. We're seeing what's hidden underneath. We're seeing what the actual ripple effect is. All of that is the ascension process, because it's moving us into a level of thought where we're questioning what is right here for me and for the collective. How does that differ from somebody else's right for them and the collective? And how can we all work together in it now? That's that pairing. So we all had to essentially be broken down to a certain degree to get to some of the roots of what was limiting us in our progression forward. Maybe it was past traumas, maybe past belief systems, to now open up to what is happening and what we can do about it and what we want to create.
I love the way you put that. And I really haven't thought about it in that way, especially when I think about what has happened over the last several years and where I know personally I am today in questioning so many of the things we were just talking about. And putting that in parallel with the idea of ascension makes so much sense.
Yeah. So in December 2023, in one of my cosmic consciousness circles, where we do a deep dive once a month into something interesting, I had one of the ascended masters come through and share insights of the last 4 years. Do you want me to read that? I have that right here. I'd love to share it because it was neat how he explained it. So first of all, his name is Sanat Kumara. Some people might be familiar with him. He's the regent of Earth. So an ascended master is somebody who has lived so many lives that they have ascended into the mastery level where they don't feel a need to reincarnate, but rather they can be like a teacher. So we could compare him to a university professor who's reached tenure, right? Something like that. Anyways, so he's the regent of Earth. So he has been on Earth many times and really oversees a lot of what's going on in Earth. And he's someone I have channeled usually in writing for a long time. When I see him, he looks like Doctor Strange a little bit for anyone that's seen those movies, like the cape and the big collar, not the same face. But anyways, when he came forward to bring this channel through, he came walking down this kind of spiral staircase from the higher realms. And so this is what he had to share. He said, "I have watched humanity grow, evolve, fall, rise, triumph, rebirth, and more over eons. Incarnating in human form is not taken lightly by the incarnating soul, as well as the supporting souls, such as spirit guides and spirit teachers. We hold a high level of respect for the amount of change that the planet has undergone most recently. Humanity has had to run deeply confronting obstacles over the last 4 years. It has not been limited to this past 4 years, but this stretch of ascension has been relentless with what it has asked of each and every one of you. It was an experiment of growth potential, and we are so pleased to see the growth that has taken place and that it has reached several beautiful frequential milestones. Even more, the anchoring of the new thoughts and frequency that has occurred as a result of this growth is strong and secure in its form. Jeanette has often mentioned many times the concept of the zip tie. So just to explain that part, you know how with a zip tie, when you put it together, you can only click it forward and it can't go backwards, right? So that's what I'm talking about. And so he said, we agree that this new timeline will not be going backwards. It's like a zip tie. We zipped into this next little notch. Many of you have created solid anchor points that is creating pathways for light and the arrival of many more that can carry this light. The highest probability of this timeline suggests that it will not slip away. From now until 2030, much of the focus will be on implementing pathways of change, paths that are created for others to follow suit. This is not an easy task, but with the amount of structures and systems that have crumbled, there is now room for these new paths to be carved. Some of those are being carved at present. Those of you in the new frequency frequency all now carry a frequency of consciousness that allows you to connect into bigger picture thinking, one that is not based on greed and pride, but rather one based on collective growth and compassion. There's been a significant rise in the reconnection between humans and their perceived value of the land of Mother Earth. For humans to have a collective frequency of greater care for the planet means they have it within them to have a greater care for their collective species as well. This change has created a will within to push for stronger resonance and truth in many facets of Earth life. As a result, it is also creating a stronger divide between old world frequency and new world frequency. Your role is to hold steady to what you know to be true within your known frequency of alignment. This frequency is important for all paths, but most specifically to help shift the energy of war on your planet. The energy of deep conflict will continue to pull others back into fear as the very threat of their lives is unavoidable. Many cannot feign ignorance when wars are erupting all over the planet. We see that war will still be holding a presence until those in positions of power can step in from that higher perspective. However, what you are all doing now is creating the framework for that to happen. We are pleased to say that there are those rising to positions of power over the next decade that hold the frequency higher, and they are beginning to carve the path in that way too. Please feel our gratitude and encouragement for your journey on Earth.
Wow. Oh my gosh. That like brought tears to my eyes that we can get that kind of information. That's incredible. And I love how you kept bringing up the word collective. That's a word that we continue to use a lot now, especially as we go into this new time frame. And it was going to lead to one of the questions we were going to ask you too, Jeanette, is why are we here? And why are we on this journey now together? And what does it mean for those of us? I heard him say about those of you in the new frequency. So it's not everyone, but there's some of us that are there. So what does that mean? What is our role to play in it?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so when he says those of you in the new frequency, I really want to point out that it's not better than. It's not, oh, you're in the new frequency, good. You're better than everybody else. It's not that. It's more just like your journey. It's like when you're in grade 12, you're not better than someone in grade 6. You're simply, you have progressed into grade 12, right? Everyone's on their individual journey. So I really want to clarify that, first of all. But for those that are in that new frequency, and that new frequency he's talking about is that awakened mind, that breaking out of the box mind, thinking beyond the old frequency, right? Old frequency is when you're stuck in a box. New frequency is when you've broken down the barriers of that box. And so for those that are standing in a frequency now of open-minded thought, of community-based thinking, of advancement, of facilitating healing for others, of anything that's beneficial for the collective, not just the self, but the collective. For those that are in that frame of mind right now, based on their journey, it's about anchoring that and holding that, being in that. Because what it does is it creates like a lighthouse for anyone around you who is still in that quote unquote grade 6 energy, trying to find the path all the way to grade 12. So it's holding that frequency and furthering your own journey, but the more authentic you are with yourself in what you need, where you want to go, what you need to heal, what you've released, how you can help others, the more you create that possibility within that collective soup that we all basically drink from, which allows other people to get those insights of possibility, right? It's like that 100 monkeys experiment. Remember, there was like 100 monkeys in one country or one continent that learned a skill and a tool. And then all of a sudden, there was monkeys on a completely other continent that were able to figure out, wait, we can use a tool. None of them connected, but it went into that collective soup that I'm talking about, that collective energy that has possibilities milling around in it, that at any point we can drink from that and gain an insight.
Yeah. Even when you were reading that, there was a frequency in the words that I could actually feel. And I don't know if those listening, if you could feel that as well, but it's almost like there was a blanket came over as you were reading them. They have such resonance because, in my opinion, they're such truth, right? And we get the chills because it represents truth. That's how it felt when you were just reading those words.
Yeah. I feel it too, to be honest. Like, they're not my words and they feel different when I read them versus if I tried to share a message. Sure, I can share it and bring in an energy, but there is an energy in that for sure.
And it does help for everyone listening right now to give us all a greater sense of purpose and validation for why we are here right now at this very moment, no matter where you are in this process, right? So whether you're at that sixth grade level, or maybe you are at that 12th grade level, it really doesn't matter. There's a reason why you are here right now. And one question I have too is, he mentions talking about through 2030. And when we've been talking already today in this episode, you mentioned from 20 to 24, there was this very specific type of energy, and we did have all this growth within that short amount of time. Now that we're in 2024 and going forward, would you say, given the messages you received from him and from your other guides and ascended masters, would you say we're in another time frame till 2030, or is there something we're going to feel a certain type of energy? Have you received
any? Yeah, that's a good question. So it depends on how we look at it, because there's different cycles within it. So from now until 2030 is one cycle, but we can go down to this singular year of 2024 as a significant adjustment year, adjustment transformation. 2025 alone is an energy of newer collective manifestations. There's a lot of individual manifestations this year. 2025 is where there's a little more momentum in the collective manifestations. So that would be more, say, like government things or bigger community initiatives or country-based initiatives. But then 2026 to 2030, in the way that they're showing me right now, is another highly likely four-year progression. But that will be determined closer to the time because of free will. The free will of what we do in any given time can alter an event or several events. If we maybe stay on the trajectory we're seeing right now, we might hit that 4 years of growth in there, which would be yet another leap up in consciousness, or we may feel like we have to go backwards a little bit. So they can give snapshots, but it's harder to say until we're closer to it. Yeah. Like with 2020, I didn't get any insights about 2020 and what it was going to kick off and that it was a four-year thing until they started giving me little snapshots in 2019. And I had a few spirits come through in readings that were like, okay, just so you know, something is coming up really significant and it's going to shake up the way that you see the world, but just know that you're going to be okay. And I'm like, what's coming? What is it? And they're like, it's going to change the way you think about things. I'm like, what is it? They wouldn't say. So I didn't have the details, but then as soon as 2020 started is when the three guides of the light came. And then they started saying, this is this period of 4 years of growth, which really is 100 years. And again, they can only give whatever they can within that known probability at the time.
Wow. And so much of this is unknown because of free will, right? It's exactly. Really all up to everyone, how their energy shifts or doesn't, and then how much that collective energy can shift this operational energy. It gives you such a different perspective on how important every individual is, and then how we really are in this together, doesn't it?
We are. And that's what's so important right now is like, that's what's important, but that's also what's challenging, because we have to wade through the waters of uncertainty, of high polarity and duality too, of the world is ending, everything is bad, here's the proof. And also the world is beautiful and it's ascending, here's the proof. And we have to wade in these waters and try and make sense of it as we're carving our path through it. And that's not an easy task. And I think that's something we all have to give ourselves a little bit of credit for, because that's not easy. It is not easy to be a human at this time. But that being said, we all chose to be here at this time. So it's this funny kind of cycle we can run of like, why am I here? What's my purpose? I don't get it. And then it's, I'm meant to be here at this time. So what do I want to do about it? And the world is ending. Well, in one way it could. And then the world is going to thrive. And yes, in another way, it totally can. And all we can do is come back to the present now and make the choices that are in alignment of the now that help us create what it is we do want. So it's this really like dynamic experience being on Earth right now.
Yeah, there is the going back to the union, even the union within yourself and the collective. There's that relationship, because there's your own potential ascension for your own soul, as well as the ascension for the collective and for Earth, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All of that going on.
Absolutely. It's so interesting. And I find the more that I know and the more I get to see the back end of it, like even how soul fragments can jump within parallel timelines to influence the other aspect. That's a huge rabbit hole. And even understanding that makes me realize how much I still don't know. The more that I know, the more I realize I don't get it.
We've actually talked a bit about that on one of our episodes that we did with you on Seeking Center. Yeah. because yes, that in itself, we could talk about that all day. Yeah. Where are we? Where are the different fragments of ourselves? But how are there all these different timelines going on at once?
Oh, we love these conversations. But one thing I was thinking about for people listening, I had this thought this morning when I was out on my run, as I always do, about how we all need to really rethink the resumes of our lives and all of the things that we've accomplished and purchased and all of those things that we've been so trained are that we think make us valuable to the planet. And to really throw that all away and think about when you hugged that little baby or gave him attention or when you took care of your mom when she was ill or just all those things that we do to spread light. Yeah. That is the resume of our lives. That is the thing that is really changing and impacting the world. And just made me really stop in my tracks to think about what I'm giving my time and my attention to. And that is really the reason we're here. It is all about the light that we can spread. And yes, we have to do some of the things, of course we do, but the more we can do it with that feeling of love and light, then we are pushing the collective into really reaching that goal of really shifting the vibration of the planet. And it's really that simple.
And I think to your point too, it's interesting because we all at some point in our journey, some more than others, but we all hit an experience of our darkness. We all go through times where either we are like, what was I thinking? Or why did I make that decision? How did I put myself in that situation? Why did I say yes? Why did I say no? Why am I so lost? Like darkness in whichever way it shows itself, right? We all come here to experience some aspect of darkness because it's through that we get to learn what we want, how we want to show up, and what does matter. And so I say that because I want to reflect on your point in the fact that it's not easy here. But in that challenging stuff, if you're in it or you've made it through it, either way, it is paving a path for you to shine your light, for you to hug that baby longer, for you to let go of certain material needs, realizing that what really matters is what feels right in your soul. And that's what that darkness can teach us. It's not teaching us that we are shameful people or that we're horrible people or ridiculously aloof or whatever your personal judgment might be, but it's teaching us to find our light. Mm-hmm. And so I love that you brought that up because you're 100% right. That is what matters. And I can say when I had my near-death experience, and I've been reflecting on this a lot lately, which is interesting. I keep reflecting on the perspective I had when I was in conversation with my higher self. And so it was me as I look as I am now talking to me that looks like I do now, but I knew it was my higher self. And it was completely normal to have the two me's talking to each other, knowing they're one and the same yet different. That being said, I remember seeing the absolute love and adoration on the face of my higher self when it was looking at my life journey as me now, the light and the dark, and being like, this is amazing. Look at what you've experienced. And it's seeing that perspective of my higher self that I'm like, yeah, it is about the light and the struggles. And it is about what you choose to do with it. And how do you share your light with other people and what really matters? And so I think that's neat that it came up for you too, because that tells me too that it's in the collective. It's in that collective pool or that soup that I was talking about to reflect on what does matter right now. And I think we then bring that into how we connect in those divine pairings and partnerships, which leads to what we create. That's that whole flow thing. It's pretty neat.
I'm so glad we're talking about that and that you both have brought that up, because it's the dark and it's those times that feel uncomfortable. And we're a society, I think, overall, that wants to just not feel uncomfortable, right? Like, it's not comfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
And yet that is how we grow. I always say this, we did not come here to coast. We came here for the twists and the turns and all of that, because that is how our soul evolves. And then collectively, how we all evolve. And it's when you're in it, it is so challenging to see it. And it's in the little moments where you can stop and acknowledge you're in it, acknowledge that. And that, I always say, the universe has my back. And so I know there is no bad, there is only growth, but it may feel uncomfortable. It may feel challenging. It may feel hard. You may want to cry and scream and all the things, but that's what makes it a life. It's the ups, the downs, it's all of it. And I'm so grateful we can talk about it together and help others know that they're okay.
Yeah, the whirly experience is all a part of it.
Jeanette, this has just been so uplifting. I can't even begin to tell you. Thank you so much for sharing that message.
I'm so glad it was timely and it worked.
It really was. And thank you for sharing your light. Thank you for sharing it on this podcast. And really, every day, you share it with so many people. And we're all benefiting from that light and from the awareness that you have that you can share with all of us so that we can live these more fulfilling, purposeful lives. So thank you.
Thank you. That's so sweet. I love that. I'm honored. Honestly, you just made my heart all weepy. So thank you.
Can you tell everyone where they can find you? Because you really have so much that you're sharing on a constant basis.
Yeah, definitely on YouTube at Jeanette Byrow Medium is where I post weekday daily card readings and also like a mediumship channeling tune-in on Wednesdays. I also post my podcast on YouTube and as well all the other platforms. It's the Jeanette Byrow podcast. That's once a week on Mondays it comes out. And Instagram, I post videos of, hey, did you know Spirit does this? Or interesting tidbits on my Instagram, which is JeanetteByrow.medium. And Facebook as well. They can find me at the Avalon Spirit Facebook group. And then lastly, people can also find me in all of our course offerings that I teach at avalonspirit.com. I'm all over the place.
You are. And we're going to have all of these links in our show notes. And we're so grateful to have you on today. And we know we'll talk to you again in the future. And we look forward to continuing working together on Seeking Center, on Avalon Spirit, and wherever else people can find us. So thank you so much, Jeanette.
Thank you so much for having me.